we go back to God in prayer, do we have any prayer requests for this morning? Yes, Nancy. And what was the name? Jimmy Phelps? Fouts. F-O-U-T-S. Fouts. I knew a Jim Fouts. He was my basketball coach. And he had a stroke. Okay. Other things? Yes, Jennifer. Yeah, Bill. Do you have that name? Glenda? Linda. Yes, in the back, Barbara. I know that name from growing up there. Assuming the same one. Yes, Lois. Oh, goodness. Okay, thank you, Lois. Anything? Yes. Great, great. Wonderful to have you. Anything else? Let's go now to God in prayer. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Creator and Redeemer, Giver of good gifts, Light of life, Father, we come before you to praise your holy name, to acknowledge who you are and the great things that you have done, to thank you and praise you because you meet us where we are, in the midst of our pain and suffering. And each and every one of these people that were mentioned this morning are important to you. And Father, we lift them up. You know them, you know their needs, you know their families, and we ask that you will be with each of them, Lord, and bring healing to them. Be with the medical teams as they work with them to recover from a stroke or a concussion or an injury of some kind. Father, we thank you that you're with us even in the midst of emotional and spiritual brokenness. And for families that face brokenness, you're a God who brings hope and healing. How you're a God who's in the business of reconciliation. And we thank you for that. We thank you for Tina and her family and her sister who is with us. Father, as we look to you during this Advent season, how grateful we are that you're a God who cares. You are God who comes to meet us in the midst of the strife, in the midst of the pain and the suffering, and you bring light and hope into our lives. Father, as we continue to prepare our own lives for your coming, looking back to the first coming, looking forward to the second coming, when you will come not as a babe in a manger, not as a suffering servant, but as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Father, help us to be ready, to be prepared. And Lord, while we wait, help us to proclaim the wonderful good news that the light has come and the light shines over the darkness. Father, I ask that you will take my words this morning, make your word come alive. We thank you for this beautiful passage from the Gospel of John. And I pray that you'll give us understanding and take my words, Lord, and make them your words and use them as you see fit. For we commit this time to you. We do all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes when I watch the news, I find myself amazed that in a little country in the Middle East where Jesus walked 2,000 years ago, they're still in the middle of the news, of the world news. They dominate the world news. And I think, why is that? Why in this little small country, a little tiny bit of real estate, why do they continue to dominate world news? Well, this past week I saw the little town of Bethlehem on the news. But it wasn't a peaceful place. It wasn't still and silent. There was rioting in the streets. We had another account in the news this past week that caught the attention of the entire world. Israel and Jerusalem were at the center of the world news again as President Trump announced recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Once again, protest and violence became a part of this small piece of real estate known as the Holy Land. Division, war, and darkness have been a part of their history for thousands of years. This is a place home to three major world religions of Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. And it is into that darkness that God sent his son to be light 2,000 years ago. Listen to our passage this morning from the Gospel of John 1. Now, John doesn't start with the traditional birth narrative of Jesus being born as a babe in Bethlehem in a manger. No, John goes all the way back to the beginning that is even before the creation of the world, to talk about the eternal nature of the Logos, the Word, who was God's Son, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Let's turn again to this amazing revelation of truth. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, beginning with the verse through verse 18. Hear now the holy inspired word of God. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There was a man who was sent from God, and his name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light, but he came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. And yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." May God add his blessing and his understanding to this, his holy word. John tells us that the darkness of suffering are a part of the world we live in. If we have not gone through suffering in the past, we will probably face some kind of suffering in the future. Perhaps some of us are facing it in the present. Some of us are just coming out of suffering. And some of us have better be ready, because suffering is coming. Yes, darkness and suffering are a part of the world we live in. But John reassures us that we are not forgotten in the midst of our suffering. God is aware of it, and God even sent his Son into the midst of it. He is Emmanuel, God with us. This past week, we remembered December the 7th, 1941, a day that will live in infamy, the bombing of Pearl Harbor by Japan, and our entrance into World War II. This was a period of history in which we remembered the very worst of humanity, and at the same time, the very best that humanity has to offer. And God was there through it all. God offered his light even in the midst of that deep darkness. I was talking with a member last week who was remembering how during World War II there was a mandatory blackout, and you had to pull blinds and shades over your windows and everything at night and couldn't let any light come out. And she was sharing about that on those dark nights it made everything so dark because there was no light anywhere. But one little light could overcome the darkness. And this is the message that John is bringing to us in a very powerful way. That there is hope even in the darkness. The darkness is only for a period because the eternal light has come. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. That is why we should decorate with lights. That's why there should be joy at Christmas. On these Sundays in Advent, we're thinking about the theme, "The Light of Bethlehem Still Shines On." And today, I want to center our thinking around this. In the darkness of suffering, there is the light of life. There is a light that still shines on us. Our scripture lesson today, as we said, was not about the birth of Jesus. It's not about Mary or not about Joseph. Instead, it's about the very beginning of the news. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The first 18 verses of John's Gospel are called the prologue, and it's a long statement about the Word becoming flesh. The Word is Logos, and it's the creative power of God at work in the universe, and it became flesh. God came down out of heaven and dwelt among us. God in human form. The Bible begins with this same kind of language. In Genesis, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the next thing, it's interesting that the next thing that God created was light. Let there be light. This creative power in the universe, this Word, this Logos, God Himself, has come into the world in human form. And John tells us, in Him was life. And the life was the light of men. John also tells us that at a certain point, God Himself stepped into the stage on human history. And when He did that, He stepped right into the middle of human suffering. At this time in history, the Jewish people were suffering under the rule of Rome. It's true that the Romans brought about a time of peace, the Pax Romana, but it was because no one could oppose them. They had advanced human life in many different ways, and yet the thumb rule of Rome came down hard upon everyone, including the Jewish people. Add that to that the lives of those people they had to face. I mean, it was a hard time of living. There was disease and hunger, sickness and death, injustice and persecution. And yet, into the midst of all that suffering, the life of Jesus was the light of all people. I want to say to you this morning that whatever you face, whatever you are facing even right now, Christmas holds for you the promise of help and hope, the promise of light and love, the promise of joy and peace. In the darkness of your own suffering, there is a light that still shines. It is the light of Christmas. And for you, Jesus Christ is the light of life. Because the light of Bethlehem still shines on. Let us think about what this means for us today. One, Jesus Christ is the light that will overcome any darkness. That is the testimony of John in this gospel. He writes, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. John is giving us the conclusion of the story right here at the beginning. He's telling us what's going to happen at the end right in the beginning of the book. He's telling us ahead of time how things are going to turn out, that Jesus had already defeated the worst kind of darkness, the darkness of death. God's answer to death was a resurrection. You know how sometimes you want to see how a book ends without reading the whole book, so you flip over to the last chapter. Ever done that? You can't wait, so you flip over. Okay, I want to know how this is going to end. Well, John saves us the trouble flipping over to the last chapter. He's telling us right here at the very beginning how it turns out. The light shines out in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And that's the reason this book was written. Do you know what this means for us? It means that no matter what we face, He has already overcome it. He's already conquered it. He's already defeated it. This means that the good news of Christmas is also the great news of Easter and of resurrection and of victory. Jesus Christ has already won the victory, and everything you and I could ever possibly face has already been defeated. And that's why we bow down around the manger. It's not because Jesus is a sweet, cute, little bouncing baby boy. It's because of who he was, God in the flesh. And what he did, he conquered death. And he gives us the gift of eternal life. He drove the darkness right out of our lives because the light of Christ always overcomes the darkness of the world. And my friends, this is something to brag about, what God has done through his Son. I hope you will remember this. Never forget in the dark what God has told you in the light. Never forget in the dark what God has told you in the light. That's why it's so important for us to develop good spiritual habits, like regular reading and studying of God's Word, so that when those difficulties arise, and they will, you will be prepared to handle them. Just like an athlete or a soldier, they train over and over again so that when the real situation happens, it will elicit a natural response. Recalling God's Word and praying without ceasing is a natural response and a great asset when troubles arise for mature Christians. I hope that you will remember that Jesus Christ is the light which overcomes any darkness. Next, think about this. Jesus Christ is the light that will enlighten every life. John also tells us this. The true light that enlightens every man was coming into the world. During his ministry, Jesus brought people from the darkness out into the light. He called Legion out of the cemetery. He called Lazarus out of a tomb. He called Zacchaeus out of shade. He called Bartimaeus out of blindness. At one point, Jesus announced boldly, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus is the light of life, the light of the world, the true light that shines and enlightens everyone. And since he enlightens everyone, that means he will enlighten your life. The light, which he is, will reach out into the dark corners of your existence and shed light upon all of life's perplexities. The light, which he is, will warm your heart and in this season fill your living with love and goodwill. The light, which he is, will shine across the road upon which you travel and enable you to find your way. Remember, Jesus Christ is the light that enlightens your life. He is the light, and he has overcome the darkness. Finally, think about this. Jesus Christ is the light which will empower your living. That is the final thing I want us to hear from John this morning. He wrote, "To all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the power to become children of God." Often when I drive over the Nitro St. Albans Bridge, I look at that big steam cloud that's often there of the John Amos power plant. I think that's, do they still call it that? I remember that as a kid. And I'm reminded that That's where the power comes from to provide electricity to all the area. And I think it goes even a long ways beyond here. But that electricity brings power to light up the Christmas lights and everything else in our homes. Jesus Christ is even more powerful than that big electric plant. He is the power who overcomes the darkness of the entire world to bring hope and eternal life to everyone who will believe in his miraculous birth, his perfect life, and his victory over death. The light of life comes from the power of Jesus Christ and his gift of eternal life to everyone who will accept his gift. For Christians, our power over darkness and death comes from the light who came down from heaven to earth on that first Christmas morning. Jesus Christ is the light, and he will empower you. He will empower your living. This is a special kind of living. It's not just a power to get through the day. Look again at what John has written. It is power to become children of God. That's who we are. That's who God has called us to be. That's what Jesus Christ empowers us to become. Children of God. Have you ever heard somebody say, Christmas is for children? Well, whoever makes that statement doesn't understand the meaning of Christmas. Many people miss the significance of Christmas when the focus is only on the giving of gifts. Christmas is not just a holiday where children get presents. It's a celebration of the great cosmic event in which God came boldly down out of heaven as a human, and he came to take back his creation and to make his children become children of God. That's what the Apostle Paul was talking about when he wrote to the Christians in Rome. And he said that all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. And if they are children of God, then they are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That is, if we are willing to suffer with him and thereby be glorified with him. And that sheds a new light on the darkness of human suffering. Do you really want your living to be empowered? Do you really want Jesus Christ, who is the light, to bring to you the light that shines even in the midst of your suffering? It just might cause you to do something you never thought you would have thought of before. You might find yourself being a light person, working for a power company, spreading the light, sharing the light, giving away the light, even in the darkness of suffering. That's part of what it means to become a child of God. Years ago, there was a very wealthy man, and he would take his son oftentimes on business trips with him. And where he would go as they traveled around the world, he would collect great precious works of art. Well, his son grew up, and as he grew up, he entered a time during the war, and he enlisted into the war. It wasn't long before he received word that his son had been killed in the war, saving several of his friends. Well, when the next Christmas came, he was grieving, had a terrible time with the loss of his only son, and he was grieving. And the next Christmas, a man came to him and he knocked on the door. And And he gave the man a portrait of his son. And the man said, I was one of those soldiers that your son saved. And I drew this picture of him, and I wanted to give it to you. Well, this picture brought great solace to this man. He placed it on the most important place above the mantle in his living room, and he would often sit and remember and reflect upon his son. As time went on, the man eventually died. And when the lawyer read out his will and carried out his will, the instructions were that they were to have an auction of his entire estate. So many people gathered around because he had a famous art collection, and many people gathered around for this auction, hoping to get some of this valuable art. Well, the first portrait that was held up was a portrait that soldier had painted of his son. And these people weren't interested in it. It wasn't a great painting, but there was a voice in the back of the room. Said, I bid on it. I bid $10 on it. And no one else bid. And so the auctioneer, going once, going twice, sold to the man in the back for $10. The auction is over. Well, everyone protested. Well, what about all the other art? Well, the will very clearly specified that whoever buys the portrait of my son is the one who inherits the entire estate. The man who made that bid was the soldier who painted that portrait. And he gave it to the father. And in the end, he ended up getting the father's whole estate. Paul told us, he told the Roman Christians, that he who did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not also give us all things with him? You see, if you choose the Son, you will have it all. For you will have the light of life. The one who said, I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. And that, my friends, is the true gift of Christmas, and a gift that keeps on giving forever and ever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, how we thank you for the gift of Christmas. How we thank you that you enter into our suffering. You don't take it away. And Father, that's somewhat of a mystery for us. Oftentimes we look around at the evil in the world and the suffering and the pain, and we say, why, Lord? And we don't fully understand that. But we do know that we live in a fallen world, a broken world, a world which, even in the midst when the judgment was first pronounced, even then, you were working on the way through your Son, Jesus Christ, the one who would come in the perfection of time, in the fullness of time, he would come and step down out of heaven and walk on the earth. And his light will shine in the darkness. Father, I pray for those who are experiencing darkness in their lives today, right now. Troubling times. Difficulties are a part of this world, and you haven't chosen to lift us out of those difficulties and the pit of despair, but you have promised to walk with us even through the valley of the shadow of death. So, Father, give us hope. Give us comfort. May your light shine in the darkness and give us joy and peace and hope and love. And may this be the message of Christmas this year, this season, and every day. And help us, Lord, to reflect that light and love of Jesus Christ into the world wherever we go. Thank you, Father, for we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let us stand and sing hymn number 44, O Little Town of Bethlehem.